This is the voice of truth, the voice of God's inerrant, absolute, eternal, unbroken, verbally inspired word. The voice of truth is coming to you from the Metropolitan Tabernacle of the First Baptist Church of Algiers. We're located at 501 Opelousas Avenue, New Orleans, Louisiana. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis speaking, inviting you to stay tuned to hear God's message by our late pastor, L.R. Shelton, on the subject, the home and marriage, which is number 186. That's the home and marriage.
Let's turn to the Word of God and read Genesis 2:18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmate for him. Now let's turn to Hebrews 13:4. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Now let's turn to Matthew 19:4. And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no longer twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, says the Word of God. Marriage was the first institution that God established, that he might establish the home. Marriage is ordained of God. It has the sanction of God. He might say that we might say that it was in the Garden of Eden that the Lord God himself planned marriage and performed the first marriage ceremony. Fools make fun of marriage. It is only an educated, perverted wretch who makes light of marriage. It was the Lord God of heaven who made man and woman for each other. It was God who said it. It is not good for man to live alone, and therefore created woman to be his helpmate. It was God who brought the woman to Adam. There it was God who taught them the meaning of marriage and gave them love one for another. You see, God has to give you that love. It was God who said to this man and his wife, go forth and be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. How beautiful and holy is marriage, which was planned by the Lord God of heaven, instituted by the Lord God of heaven, for man's good and happiness and for his own glory. The Lord Jesus Christ added his blessing to marriage, first by endorsing the marriage that took place in the Garden of Eden, and second by attending the marriage feast in Cana of Galilee, there in the second chapter of John. God made them male and female, and made them for each other. And he said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. True marriage is ordained in heaven, because he says, what therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Let me call your attention to another way the Lord Jesus honored the home. When he came into this world, he was born into a home. Joseph, the husband of Mary, did not beget Jesus. He was not born by natural generation. Yet he was born in a home. And he honored the home by choosing to be born in a home and to live in a home. The Bible plainly teaches that he was a virgin born, even though the RSV Bible says in Matthew 1:16 that Joseph was the father of Jesus. The Lord Jesus honored the home, not only by being born in a home, but he was subject unto Joseph and Mary, his mother. Luke 2:51 says, and was subject unto them. We cannot put too much stress upon the home and marriage, because every damnable doctrine under the sun is being taught today to destroy the home, such as companionate marriage, free love, and that every desire of the human heart is natural and ought to be satisfied. The home and marriage is the foundation of the church and of society. But today the old-fashioned Christian home is all but a thing of the past. Unless we stop and rebuild our homes, we're gone. Yes, I like to think of the Lord Jesus as being born home, having lived in a home. I like to think of him as being subject to Joseph and his mother Mary. Also, I like to think of him in his earthly ministry as he went into the homes of the people and making the home of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus his headquarters in Bethany. I like to think of him as putting his approval upon the home by restoring homes by his grace. And I like to think of him now as he saves sinners and rebuilds homes. Only true homes can be built around Christ. Now that's so. One of the most damnable doctrines being taught today in some books on sociology, which are used in classes in our high schools and colleges, now you get it, is that marriage is a product of evolution. These God-haters, Christ-defiers, and so-called scholars tell us that sometime before history ever began, marriage came into being, and that before marriage came into being, men and women ran around together in hordes and lived promiscuously without any permanent mating of husband and wife. You know why they teach such a lie? It is because they hate the Bible, they hate God, and do not believe that marriage is an institution of God. They do not want a binding Bible marriage. They do not want to give an account to God. In other words, they want to leave God out of their plans and program. They do not want to be bound by vows of marriage. A woman walked into a place of business the other day to borrow some money. And in filling out her application, she was asked the question, "Are you married?" She answered, "No, I'm a common law wife. I live with four men." And in checking my financial credit rating, you have to check under four different names. I live 1 week with one, the next week with another, the next week with another, and the fourth week with another. No wonder this world is on the toboggan slide to hell. You and I may want to laugh at that, but it is more common than you ever dreamed it to be. I was told by a lawyer, an attorney, when I came here 40 years ago, that there was a great percent of the families in Algiers, section of New Orleans, living in common law marriage. Now, he said 25%. I do not know that I'm quoting him. Maybe I'm speaking to hundreds of individuals who are living in companionate common law marriage. There we have carried on our mission work, and as we've carried it on, we have performed more marriage ceremonies for folks who have lived in common law marriage. The very moment they get under conviction, they would say, "Well, I'm not married." In one instance, we performed the marriage ceremony of Grandma and Grandpa in the presence of a bunch of grandchildren. All of such living grows out of the fact that men and women hate God, and they do not want to be bound by the vows of Bible marriage. In many of our colleges, in classes of sociology, there is taught common law marriage. And many, many of our college and university students are living in common law marriage the 4 years they're in school. And they say that the Bible is out of date. It is only out of date. Get it now? The Bible is only out of date for God-hating, Christ-defying, evolutionist, and modernistic professors. Men and women are sinful, and they want to live according to their own ideas, but are according to their own wills. And I want to tell you, my friend, the Bible won't be out of date at the judgment bar of God, where you have to give an account of yourself before the bar of justice. Listen to God's word, will you? And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. What books he talking about? There's two set of books there. One is God's eternal word. 66 books in this Bible. And that this Bible will be opened at the judgment bar of God, and every individual out of Christ will be judged according to your works, your deeds, as recorded here in these 66 books. Then there is the book of your life there. Every deed, everything in the world is written there. A record is kept of your life there in heaven, and you're going to have to face it. The gracious thing about knowing Christ as your Lord and Savior, as your substitute, is that that record has been blotted out, is blotted out, will forever be blotted out throughout eternity, and no one, even angels or God himself, will ever look upon the record of a born-again believer. Now, you think about that seriously. Now, let's stop and consider for a few minutes courtship. To me, one of the most beautiful pictures that I've ever seen is two people in love with each other. I have dealt with young people all my life. I love young people. I love to see a young man, a young woman, fall in love with each other and win each other's heart, as well as middle-aged people and others. There's nothing to me more beautiful and more glorious and more gracious. Pure, clean love is the most charming thing in the world. I believe courtship as a rule should be spread over some time. I know there are exceptions where folks have met, loved at first sight, as they say, married and built a successful home. But it is the exception and not the rule. I believe in lengthy courtships that spreads over some months, where each will have time to study the other. I believe courtship should be directed by the Holy Spirit. And when marriage is considered, it should be entered into reverently and discreetly and in the fear of God. It should be the subject of much prayer and thought, and much consideration. Then when they march down to the marriage altar, it should be thought of as a lifelong engagement, only to be separated by death. If our young people who are listening to me would take that into consideration, we would not have so many quick marriages and quick divorces. This overnight stuff that you call courtship and flight of the altar for marriage is satanic to the core. And it's leaving behind a wreckage upon the shore of time that is filling hell full of damned souls. It seems to me that we have all but lost the sacredness that goes with courtship and marriage. You let that soak in, will you? I'd like to give this word of personal testimony. To me, my days of courtship with Miss Shelton back under 48 years ago are among the sweetest days that we spent together. They were. They lasted over a period of 6 months. They were days when we came to understand each other and honor each other and know each other. And there's not a thing back in those courtship days that I'm ashamed of. And so it is with my present courtship. I'm getting married today to one of the sweetest girls I believe ever lived. She's been my secretary for 30 years. I sat across the desk from her and dictated to her, and we worked together for 30 years, never dreaming of that she'd ever be my wife. But today, the Lord willing, after some months of courtship, for the glory of the Lord, for the carrying on of His work, we'll be united in marriage. I say that because it's of the Lord. The Lord has put his sanction on it. That is, he gave us a love for each other after Miss Sheldon's homegoing. And those who are of the Lord believe it and honor it. Those who are not of the Lord wouldn't believe it or anything else. Back to my first courtship. It was clean, sweet, and this courtship has been clean and sweet. And I praise the Lord for it. Then, for instance, in our courtship back at Louisiana College, on Sunday nights returning from my preaching engagements, I would have to walk across the campus by the girls' dormitory to reach my room in the boys' dormitory. There on the windowsill of her room in the deep night shades, she'd be sitting, the moonbeams playing across her lovely face, waiting to throw me a goodnight kiss. Yes, those courtship days will never be forgotten. Never will. That's a sweet memory. Then when we were married, not one single moment since that day did I ever think of settling any difficulties in the divorce court. To me, marriage is a lifelong engagement. And this courtship with her lasted 48 years. And I praise God for it. How long this courtship will last after today, I do not know. My first marriage was made in heaven. It ended in heaven. My second marriage was made in heaven. It'll end in heaven. And I praise God for it. Let me tell you something else, friends. If you'll keep your troubles to yourself and not let your in-laws or outlaws know about them, you'd be better off. Many a home has been broken by a mother-in-law on the one side or the other. And I'll tell you something else. There's not enough room in one home for two women. The wife is the queen of her own home. And the Bible says they shall leave their father and mother and shall cleave unto each other. May I say again, let your courtship days be days that you'll never have to look back upon with any regret. Now the question arises, why should people marry? Well, first, they need fellowship. Man needs the wife. What is a home without a wife? Marriage is bliss. You know that? The reason I want to get married again, marriage is a bliss. My first marriage was happy, was clean, in every respect, was glorious. Why should not the second one be? Man shall not live alone. The wife needs a husband. Man needs the wife. What is a home without a wife? Then another reason why folks should marry is because of partnership. Man and his wife are partners together. I would never have been what I am today, humanly speaking, if it had not been for Miss Shelton. And she's been a partner, she has been a partner with me. She's filled a many a deficiency of my life. She's been the queen of my household. And that's true. And so it takes real living to make a home. When I was growing up as a child, when night came on, it found me making my way back home. I've never liked to be away from home at night. After I married and built my home, when I finished a meeting or an engagement, homeward I turned. To me, home has been a place of fellowship, a place of rest, a place of comfort, a place of relaxation. It'll continue to be. I want a home. I don't like to live alone. I want a home where I can turn to at night, turn to at any hour of the day or night. To me, home has been such a place. To me, it is heaven on earth. It's a bliss. I do not mean to say we have not had our troubles and struggles and problems and trials and heartaches and disappointments, but home is the place I always want to go. I don't say that we'll not, in this second marriage, have any disappointments? We will. Problems and struggles. I've often been asked the question, Brother Sheldon, have you ever had any quarrels? I'll answer the question like this. The greatest time we've ever had is in making up. Isn't that glorious? Another reason for marriage is for the bearing and rearing of children. I remember as I looked forward as a young man to marriage and home, I looked forward to children. I love children. God blessed our home with children, with grandchildren, and I praise God for it. But I'm thinking about that home where there are no children. And not because, I'm not thinking about the home where for some reason there can be no children, but I'm thinking about a home where their plans and programs and lust will not let them have children and take time for children. One day riding a train, I was talking with a man, and he said, you know, Brother Sheldon, I own almost a mansion. Now I have anything the heart could wish for, earthly speaking, but there are no children in my home. To me, it's like an old barn. No little pattering of feet. No print of little hands on the walls. The bearing and rearing of children is a tremendous responsibility. I've never been able to understand yet how any man could marry, bring children in the world, and then leave that wife and those children shifting all responsibility to her and go whoring after other things. Somehow, I believe God will have to make a hotter place in hell for such a man. Also, I've never been able to understand how a man could drag his wife and children around from pillar to post because of his own laziness and slothfulness, or because of his own old wretchedness and cussedness. On the other hand, I've never been able to understand how a mother could desert her children and leave them for another man or for any reason whatsoever. I don't. Another reason why folks ought to marry is to build a home. To me, there's nothing, not anything more lovely than to see a young couple in fellowship and partnership together, loving each other devotedly, set out to build a home. I do not mean a house to live in. I mean a home. When that is the case, love will cover a multitude of sins. Many a home is broken up because of high temper. One or both want to have their own way, and they're not willing to take their problems to the Lord and let Him solve them. The first thing to settle in building a home is that Christ should be the head of that home. But in this day of God-hating, Christ-defying individuals, the average home knows nothing of Christ. They hate Him, not only to wreck their own home, but they want to wreck every other home they possibly can. As a father said to his son the other day, when he was trying to listen to me over the radio, after he came in and turned the radio off, and he said to his son, here's some money, go down to the saloon, throw a party, get away from all this gospel, Bible hate stuff. It'd be better if that man had never been born. There isn't a problem that you face in your home that cannot be solved if you're willing to let God do it. First, in the salvation of your own soul. And second, I would forever and eternally put out of my mind the idea of ever settling one problem in the divorce court. You may now come to the question of divorce. I've often been asked the question, Brother Sheldon, do you believe in divorce? My answer is no. I do not believe in a divorce. If there comes to a place where there has to be a separation, separate, but no divorce to remarry. Let me make this statement to begin with. Marriage is a lifetime contract and should never be broken. When people are saved and Christ is the center of their lives, and when they set out to live and to build their homes according to God's word, divorces cease. The Bible teaches that marriage should never be broken except by death, and that the only legitimate reason for divorce is continued adultery or fornication. The Bible says, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and marrieth another, committeth adultery. And whosoever marrieth her that is put away committeth adultery. The Bible gives only one ground for divorce, and that is the ground of continued fornication. The Bible says they twain shall be one flesh. A man and wife actually become one, as Adam said. This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. Literally, a husband and wife become one in the bodies of their children. In every happy marriage, man and wife become part of each other. And for you to break that marriage is to rend the body apart. And you can never bring it back together. You can't. You can never erase the past. It's there. Even though the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ shall cleanse you from all sin, that scar is still there. And I've often made the statement that many marriages are nothing but legalized adultery. But let me make this further statement. God Himself seals every marriage and makes it official and binding. You may make an unwise choice in your marriage, but remember, the vows you take at the marriage altar are binding. There is only one sin that breaks those marriage vows for the innocent party, and that is a continued life of adultery on the part of the guilty individual. I believe that in many, many cases in which one party or the other has fallen into sin, that home could be saved and restored by repentance, confession, and forsaking of sin, and it should be. Man came in one day, I believe the Lord is leading me to put away my wife. I said, you're a liar. God doesn't lead you to do that.
This brings to the close another broadcast, and we want to thank you for your letters and gifts that keep these messages going out over the Voice of Truth program each week. Again, the title of the message was The Home and Marriage. What a gracious message it is. It's number 186 in this series that we've been airing, and you may have a free printed copy simply by requesting it. All of the messages preached on the Voice of Truth broadcast by Pastor L.R. Shelton on this broadcast, as we call it, the Voice of Truth, they're also available on cassette tape for $3 each. This is a one-hour tape, including the choir singing and the letter reading by Mrs. Wallene, and it's a gracious bargain for $3 each, postpaid. Also, I'd like to mention that we are now broadcasting over the Internet. Many of our broadcasts are going out over www.wlno.com. Also, I'd like to give you the book of the month at this time. It's The Duties of Parents by J.C. Ryle. I may not have time to give you much information about it. It was offered in our October Voice of Truth magazine. We're getting much response. Brother Ryle offers some of these points, among others, as the duties of parents towards raising their children. Train them up in the way they should go, and they'll not depart from it. Keep in mind that the soul of your child is the first thing to be considered training your child to a knowledge of the Bible, the habit of prayer, the habit of diligence and regularity about the public means of grace. Train your child to the habits of faith and obedience, always speaking the truth, redeeming the time. Remember these thoughts constantly. Fear overindulgence. Remember continually how God trains His own children. And this is The Duties of Parents. It sells for $2.80, but our price, our sale price, is $1.27 postpaid, and we'd be glad to send you. That's The Duties of Parents by J.C. Ryle. Anything by Brother Ryle, you can always make sure that it's a profitable reading. And it's good to have been with you for this time. And I'm asking you to sit down and write us and let us know what station you're listening to us over. Tell us if the broadcast is coming in loud and clear. Once in a while, folks tell us, the broadcast didn't come on today, Pastor. And we check with the station, make sure that we didn't get charged for it. If you would do that, it helps us always. Remember, our mailing address is Radio Missions, Post Office Box 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis saying, may the Lord's richest blessings rest upon you. This is the Voice of Truth broadcast.